Hello and welcome back to the Born and Bred Podcast. I am your host, Brendan Gallagher, with my co-host,
Maria Lynn.
And this is episode number 5. We are going to be talking today a little bit about economic development and how it ties into the overall growth of your local economy and the state's economy. But before we do that, we want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor.
Be sure to check out Haunting Hill Winery, located in Stonewood, right off of I-79. Go to hauntinghill.com or call 304-476-9353 to schedule your bachelorette party, work party, or just have a nice wine tasting. Thank you for listening.
So we recently did a presentation, and we just kind of wanted to take that presentation and talk to you a little bit about how the economy ties into music, music ties into the economy, how these two things are inseparable, but some people seem to want to separate them out. But we've seen a lot of conversations lately revolving around cities and their impact and their ability to foster an environment that allows for growth in the music and arts in general. But really, we're going to be focusing on music. So before that, we want to talk a little bit about, you know, music and how it affects us personally and how it can impact our lives. We all like to listen to music. Well, most of us like to listen to music. But do we ever really stop to think about how powerful music is in our lives?
Yeah, so if you think back to the last time you went to the dentist, there's probably music playing. Riding in an elevator, there's probably music playing. You know, if you go get a medical procedure or get a CAT scan or something like that, they probably have music playing to try to help relax you. If you go to a spa, there's music playing. All of these places that aren't intrinsically music-related always have music playing. If you think of sporting events, right, there's always music at a sporting event. If you think of movies, there are a lot of movies that you may even know the song associated with the movie better than the movie itself. One example I like to use is the movie Saturday Night Fever, was a movie with John Travolta, and the song Stayin' Alive was written for that movie. And pretty much everybody knows what Stayin' Alive is, and in fact, they probably came up in their CPR class. But a lot of people don't know the movie Saturday Night Fever. So, you know, I think it's interesting to me that music has that power to really transcend everything that's going on around it. Anything you want to jump in on?
Yeah, so when you're using your Stayin' Alive example, I can guarantee you the majority of 17, 18-year-olds, if you were to be like, staying alive, they're going to jump in. They know the song.
Sure.
But they have no familiarity. And I won't say none of them. Some of them might have parents that expose them to them. But yeah, that is a great example of a song that overshadowed, I guess, the film it was part of.
Even The Graduate, I think that's kind of another one. I mean, The Graduate is much more well-known. More people know that movie. But the music from that movie and the movie itself, they're almost inseparable.
And The Sound of Silence would be the right?
Is that no, Mrs. Robinson.
Mrs. Robinson, that's right. Yeah. So that's
Jaws.
Jaws. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I just think, you know, like, again, the power of music, where with two notes, we have one of the most terrifying villains. And I even joke about how if I go swimming in the ocean, I still hear those two notes in my head when I plunge underwater.
And it's literally just two notes, and they just get faster. And it can send chills up your spine. Just that little, it's incredible how that impacts every aspect of our lives. So you take that and you think about, you know, Maria was listing all these different places. One of the things we don't even, you know, think about is we don't send people out of this world without music. Every funeral you go to has music. And what does it do to people at the funeral? You know, you play a certain song and it induces tears.
Yeah. And in that regard, I think, you know, people, I know so many people. I have my friend's dad jokes that I'm his friend that he listens to sad songs with, because one time we were together for her birthday and he was playing a couple of songs and they were on the sadder side, and he was like, I like sad music. I said, that's okay, I like sad music too. And it made him so happy that we both like sad music. But I think that's a real thing, that there are a lot of us who, not everybody, but there's a lot of us who actually enjoy sad music. And it's not because we want to feel sad, it's because that music is helping us process our emotions that we maybe can't process otherwise without it.
Music is the voice of what you are unable to say in so many circumstances. You know, a band that makes me happy is The Cure. And I don't know that they're supposed to, but they make me happy.
So I
love that. So all of that background there, why we are talking about this on the personal level is what we just showed you is we all understand that on a personal level, music has power. But what happens when you expand that out? What kind of power does music have? So there was a store in the early 2000s that had sat vacant for a while. It was called Apollo, and a young entrepreneur decided to go take a look at this space and saw the value of this store and turned it into a venue that we now statewide know as the Purple Fiddle. Now, I grew up in West Virginia. I'm 45 years old, lived here primarily the majority of my life, and I did not know anything about Thomas, West Virginia until the Purple Fiddle. The Purple Fiddle led to an entire economic shift in Thomas that not only affected Thomas, but then affected the next town over, Davis, and then affected Parsons, West Virginia. So all three of these communities got to reap the benefits of one man's vision of saying, hey, I want to create a venue and a restaurant that people will come to from all over. And bands will literally go off of the interstate over to Thomas, West Virginia, which is not an easy task, just to play at the Purple Fiddle, because it is so well known, especially in the Americana, folk, bluegrass, but even in the rock world, that this is a place people want to play. And through that, then you go down the street where the Purple Fiddle sits, and the street is lined with art galleries and stores and things like that that did not exist before the Purple Fiddle. And so it's just amazing to see how one little place can shift an entire economic culture to a point where if you go to Thomas on the weekends, there are cars there with license plates from Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. and Virginia. All these people come there and they spend their weekends there because they want to get away from it all and have the nice experience and the nice culture that Thomas provides. So when you look at that on that level of Thomas, well, how does that apply to every community? Really what we're asking through this conversation and trying to get you to think about is, what can your community be doing to foster a similar environment, a similar culture? Now, we're not promising that, oh, if you open a venue or anything like that, you're going to have a Thomas-like revitalization in your community. But you will encourage young folks in your community. You will encourage even older folks in your community to get out and be more involved and to do things and to add their support to the music culture and to the arts culture of your town or your city, wherever you're at. These are just, they're very important things. And we know what happens. We've seen it. We've seen it happen in universities all across the country, that they cut the art program or they cut the music or the theater. And then the next thing you know, the school is the next thing to get cut. It happened in Philippi. We all know about Alderson Broaddus. The first thing they cut was their arts and music program. And now the school is shuttered. And that's sad to see and it's sad to hear. But that when you look at it on that level, that applies to your community as well. A community that does not support the arts, that does not support music, that does not encourage the growth of those things is a community that is dying. And I feel very, very strongly about that, that it is on the community to create a culture that allows for the arts to grow. So how can, Maria, how can people be getting involved and how can they support music on a level that can create something in their community?
Yeah, I mean, I think identifying your local assets, whether they are musicians, whether they are existing venues, and supporting them, like that's the first most immediate helpful thing you can do is go see your local artists play live. buy their merch, support local venues, all that stuff. But on a larger scale, if you're a leader in the community and you want to look at ways you can really apply this idea of economic development through music, I mean, there's so many things you can do. And it's really going to be tailored to your community, or it should be tailored to your community to ensure success. And, you know, you have to look at things like practical things like noise ordinances, like, yeah. You know, like...
do you have a noise ordinance that's actually prohibitive to growing music? Now, we're not saying, oh, that you should do away with.
Well, I'm going to push back on you a little bit. I was actually saying the opposite, in that there should be a noise ordinance so that your community knows there's an end to this.
Well, right, but and so this, you get to hear us go back and forth here a little bit. That's fun. So I agree with that, but I'm also saying that you could have something that is prohibitive.
Sure, if the noise ordinance is 8 o'clock, but you know, yeah. If the noise ordinance is 10 or 11, you know, I think that's a little bit more reasonable. Maybe, but then you got to think about too. Outdoor music versus indoor music. Right. If you're in a venue that is well soundproofed, then you can go till 1 a.m. Probably without disturbing people. So that's where you have to look at, what do we actually have? What are our resources? You know, I would not recommend doing live music outdoors until 1 a.m. But if you have a venue that, you know, doesn't have a neighbor upstairs and it's got good soundproofing and stuff, then, you know, sure, have a party.
So you actually just bring up a good point, outdoor venue, and identifying those potential resources. If you have a spot in your town, which, gosh, almost every town in West Virginia does, where there used to be a building and it fell down or whatever, and now they've cleaned it out and it's just a lot, you know, this is where you as the community can get together, build a stage, get whatever sound equipment you can afford, and start doing shows there.
Yeah.
And now you've got yourself a place where people will come and expect to see art and music happen in that space. It doesn't have to be, oh, we need somebody to build a venue right now, and we need to have somebody build a big concert hall. No, maybe it's just an empty lot that you put a nice stage in, mm-hmm. and you start the ball rolling. That's all it takes. It doesn't have to be some expensive investment. I think so many people think, oh, we got to revitalize this movie theater or this. And those things are great, but those are huge projects that a lot of towns can't afford. So what can you do?
Right. Sometimes it's better to start smaller. And I think what I would say is, don't, you know, you can look at other communities like Thomas for inspiration, but don't just try to copy what another community is doing, because it might not fit in your community. And that's where we're happy to partner with communities to sort of help provide counsel on stuff like this, you know, whether it's the soundproofing stuff, the having the right electrical requirements.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you don't even realize that's the stuff a lot of people are like, oh, well, we can just put it on a show. Well, can you? Do you have,
right?
You know, do you have the right power drop? Do you have the right, are the buildings around where you're doing this safe to have sound point out? My band actually played a show in a town that I will leave nameless, where they had the stage pointed right at this large brick building. And my bass player, Tim, said, that just doesn't sound like a good idea, because I just have a bad feeling about this. And I kid you not, halfway through our set, part of that wall fell to the ground below.
Oh, geez.
Because of the sound. It was just too loud in there. And so we literally tore down a building in that town.
That's something to be proud of, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the power of rock and roll. unlike, we did not build this city. But, yeah, so, you know, that's the stuff you have to be thinking about before you just jump in. But, you know, we don't want to say before... one of the things I want to try to get people to be... resistant to is the idea that, oh, you have to jump through all these hoops and all these things. No, sometimes you just have to do it. Sometimes you just have to do it, and you just have to make it work. But you do have to be conscious about how you do it. But you know, the red tape and all these things that so many people think you need to jump through. Nah, sometimes it's as simple as getting wood, building a stage, and putting a sound system up and getting the ball rolling.
Yeah, like, don't be afraid to dream small.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, dream small, because the small dream is affordable, and it allows other people to come alongside and see, okay, this is working. Now we can put money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have money up front, but that when you show people that there's a, you have to show people that there is a need for something before they'll come alongside of it. So yeah, this was just a conversation we wanted to have with you about how small towns, and then that all across the state, this should be happening. Small towns should be supporting their local musicians, and I guarantee you have them. I guarantee your community has them in there, and half of them may not even be able to play in your town because there is nowhere for them to play. One of the things we do every week is we put out a list of shows that are happening across the state, and I have tried to find venues in so many communities, and a lot of communities just don't have anything. So you can create them, create venues. As long as you have an open air space that you can put a stage in, you've got a venue. So yeah, that's just kind of where we wanted to go with this today. And I hope it has caused you to think a little bit about what might exist in your community that could get the ball rolling. And so that all across the state of West Virginia, music is playing and people are hearing local original talent throughout the hills of West Virginia.
And if you're, if you've been listening to this and it's triggering ideas for you, but you feel like you don't know how to move forward with them, or you don't know about a lot of the logistics and that feels overwhelming, feel free to contact us at editor@bornandbredmusic.com, and we would be happy to talk with you about that and strategize with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Have a great day.